Our scripture passage comes from Ephesians 4 and 5. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. In particular, today's reading portion is part of the New Testament domestic codes, as the scholars and theologians call them. And these domestic codes consist of instructions or rules for the new life, often in the context of family and community. The codes were developed to urge the new first century Christians to comply with the non-negotiable requirements of what is called paterfamilias law, the law of the father, essentially this patriarchal legal code. And also it was developed to meet the needs for order within the fledgling churches. Roman law established the power of the paterfamilias or father's family within the community of his own extended family. So how does a subversive new faith movement whose leader was executed navigate such rules? And how do we in the 21st century participate in a status quo dominated world while leaning into shifting dynamics that subvert systems of domination? This evening, I want to spend some time on the first and last verses of the scripture that we have heard read. The first verses, Paul writes, "Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." Paul is reminding us that we are members of one another. We belong to each other. And sometimes when we belong to each other in family or community dynamics, there is a tendency to almost forget each other's humanity. Our lives become very patterned, and we see the pattern, but not always the person. This happens often in families. In fact, we see this happen in Jesus's life. When he returned to Nazareth, Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house." It's hard for us to see the deeper person when we are so close sometimes. And so in the midst of these patterns, we are called to begin this new life and to continue this Christian walk by establishing healthy patterns, putting away falsehood, speaking the truth, recognizing that we belong to one another. And then, when we do stumble in our relationship patterns and find ourselves angry with those to whom we belong, Paul reminds us to not sin and to not let the sun go down on our anger. I've struggled with this passage for a long time because I thought to myself, but shouldn't we remain angry at injustice? Aren't there certain things that we shouldn't just forget when the sun goes down? And as I studied this passage, I've come to realize that Paul is not talking about our anger at injustice in the world. Rather, he is speaking to us about our relations with one another. And while there may be reasons to remain angry, even within our family and community dynamics, with those who've caused egregious harm. I don't believe this passage is about those types of harms. Paul is providing a code as to how to navigate family and community dynamics within a system of domination. Anger is okay and often healthy. We see Jesus angry at the exploitation of the poor enter into the temple and turn over the money changers' tables. But there's also the possibility that anger could lead to sin. As Jesus teaches, cursing your sibling is akin to murder. Sin begins in the heart. Anger is considered a secondary emotion. And to recognize the deeper emotion or feeling that we may be experiencing, we need to go deeper into our own heart. I ride a city bike all over the place, every day back and forth to the Bowery. And especially early in the morning, sometimes there are crazy drivers out there. One day in particular, a truck nearly hit me. And I became angry and I was shaking my angry fist and just about lost my witness. And then I recalled that I had recently learned that anger is a secondary emotion. And so I paused and searched my heart and asked, why am I feeling so angry? What's happening deeper within me? And I realized that I was scared. I was scared that I could have been hit and hurt and maybe worse. And so I checked in with myself to see if I was okay in body, in heart, in mind. And I gave myself a little self-empathy. You okay? You okay? Just checking in with me. Anger is a natural emotion. And it's important that we recognize our feelings and allow space for them. And to also aim to have the mindfulness, particularly as each of us has agency and autonomy, free people made in the image of a free God. So we check in on ourselves when we experience such strong feelings. The two most common primary emotions that lie under the surface of anger are fear and sadness. There are other emotions that may also be there. We are complex human beings. When Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, this calls us to consider the deeper emotion we may be experiencing. Feelings such as anger and sadness and fear are often an expression of an unmet need. In the case of my bicycle ride, I had a need for safety. And by checking in with myself, I was able to express my feeling wholly and recognize my need. The last verses of this passage. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are called to be imitators, or rather image bearers of the God who reveals the God self as love. We are called to be God's beloved children. And like children, sometimes make mistakes and get into our strong feelings. And like children, when we experience this, to run to our holy parents' arms and to receive the love and to abide by God's call to live in love. And it is this love, this shift in relational dynamics, that no longer about blaming or shaming, but instead recognizing one another's humanity, and that each of us are image bearers of God. This shift in relational dynamics serves to disrupt systems of domination. And so we are called to pour ourselves out and thus be filled in return, so that our lives may be a fragrant offering unto the one who breathed us into being. Amen.